Welcome to the Inside CCW Safe Podcast with founders Stan Campbell and Mike Darter. If you're forced to fight the battle for your life, CCW Safe will fight the battle for your future.
All right, welcome back to the Inside CCW Safe Podcast. I'm Mike Darter in Oklahoma City, and I'm here with Stan the Man.
That's right. Stan the Man is in Las Vegas, Nevada. I'm early, trying to get set up for our time here at the SHOT Show.
Yeah, SHOT Show 2019. What's the weather like out there, man? It's cold as F here.
Well, you know, I wanted to call Nevada beautiful right now, but I can't. It's cloudy here, too, so.
Yeah, dude, it's going to get cold like in the minus digits here. I can't wait to get back out to Vegas.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I'm ready to get out there and maybe warm up a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, it will be. I mean, it should clear up some. I think it's just that day, it's kind of cloudy. But so.
Yeah, we've got a lot of stuff planned out there, don't we, for the SHOT Show?
Actually, yeah, we really do. You know, it's the only time that everyone in the firearms industry, they're all together in one place. You know, at the SHOT Show. You know, thousands and thousands of folks here. Anybody who is anyone is at the SHOT Show in January every year, and of course, CCW Safe and all of our representatives, we're going to be out here as well. We're going to get to meet with our content contributors, you know, a lot of those folks, our ambassadors, and everybody else that we do business with in the industry. We all meet here for special meetings and, you know, just to, you know, talk about how we're going to move forward in the industry and in the future. So really excited about it. Yeah.
Yeah, and you're also out there to work with Justin Collett.
That's right, yeah.
Justin Collett is a new member to CCW Safe. We've worked with him before. He's going to be our content manager.
That's right.
So,
We get everything set up. And of course, you know, Justin's going to, help us out with all the video content that we're doing out here for SHOT, of course, because that's his expertise. You know, we're bringing him on as the content manager for CCW Safe. So we're going to have more, move more into that professional realm of our content, especially video stuff, podcasts. That's his background. You know, that's what he does. So he's just going to make what we do a little bit better.
Yeah, I can't wait to get Justin on board and get him started. He's going to add a lot of value, especially for our members, especially in the area of video content. And, you know, we were introduced to Justin through probably about 3 or 4 years ago, I think, is when we first were introduced to Justin through Tyler Gray. And we were working with him, and, you know, he's moved on to do great things now with the Navy SEAL show. Justin has continued to work for us off and on, and especially during the Maddox case, which we're going to probably get into that a little bit later, talking about that. I'm super excited to get him on, to get him started, and he's going to add great value for our members.
That's right. He pretty much watched from beginning to end the Stephen Maddox case, and he helped us, you know, create a lot of that content. He saw the behind the scenes, and, you know, we'll let him talk about it, but, you know, he really had a chance to see, you know, what we do and how we stand behind our members, and so he got to see the stuff in the background, which is important. But I want him to give a little background about himself first. Do you mind if I do that, Mike?
Perfect.
Okay. So hey, welcome, Justin.
Hi guys, thanks for having me.
Well, welcome to the CCW Safe family, because now you're one of our employees, and, you know, you are partners in this this venture, you know, with the content, and we're happy to have you.
I'm excited to be here, man. It's I first started working when you were doing some stuff with Tyler Gray, and I've known Tyler for a while, and he kind of put us together. I'm glad he did. It's been I've had a lot of fun. I've learned a lot doing stuff with you guys, and I'm looking forward to a lot more.
Why don't you give us a little background on kind of your background, and then we'll get into kind of what you've done more recently with us and, you know, us bringing you on. You originally did streaming I guess you ran the whole thing, right? Streaming content back before people were really streaming a lot.
Yeah, it was back when it was hard, man. It was in 2007. My background, I'm from the Midwest, and I was in Indianapolis. I worked for a Ford Motor Company from 97 to 2007. And that was, they basically told us you could, and I thought that's who I was going to work with and retire with. I thought I'd spend 30 years at Ford and that'd be it. But they came in and told us they're closing the plant. You can either go all over the country trying to find another work in another facility, or we'll buy you out and we'll go our separate ways. So I took the buyout, and then I got into, didn't take long, got into, I've always been involved in pool, like billiards pool. And I started a company with a friend of mine. We were doing, we wanted to cover the action side of the game. Gambling, basically, is what it is, that nobody was really doing at that time. It was just the only thing you saw about pool was on ESPN. There was a pretty active pool forum that we were members of. So we started doing podcasts and things like that, and that morphed into producing matches that we would get the best players in the world together. They would play in pretty unique formats. And then we would live stream those matches and just sell pay-per-view. So we were doing pay-per-view live streams back in 2007. There wasn't a whole lot of people doing it, very few in our industry anyway. So that's where I kind of got started with the content, what they call content creation now. But we would do, you know, we set up the entire events, got the venues, all that kind of stuff. And then after the events were over, we would package that live stream, make it into DVDs, things like that, which eventually moved to all online delivery of content, you know, no more physical media. But did the podcast, you know, the YouTube channels, the whole nine yards, and eventually a person that owns some of the bigger companies in pool bought out two of my original partners, and I came to Vegas and did a bunch of stuff here. And then we eventually opened a studio in Las Vegas where we flew players literally from all over the world, Asia, the UK, America. And they would come to our studio, play our events. We also used the studio to make some instructional videos with some of the top players in the world, Darren Appleton, Shane Van Boning. Anybody, I doubt anybody knows those names, but if you know pool, you know those names. But so, yeah, I did that. And then about, I guess it was 2014, I had kind of had all I could stand of the pool industry. And it had been I won't say on a downward spiral, but I mean, it hadn't been growing the right way. It had been going the other way, kind of. And I was ready to do something else. So kind of the lease was up on the studio. So I kind of just, me and my one remaining partner just kind of agreed to go our separate ways. I ended up keeping the IP, which the company I started with my original partner is called The Action Report. And still have the IP, still have the website, still sell the on-demand content. But haven't really done anything in that industry since 2014. Since then, I started doing mainly just freelance work in Vegas, which Vegas is a conference town. Everybody comes here for trade shows and stuff. So there's always all kinds of last minute stuff pops up. People need photos or video or, you know, just of their trade show booth or just. So that's mainly what I've been doing is corporate video. And then, you know, like some of the stuff I did for you guys was actually some of the more interesting stuff, especially the Maddox project mm-hmm. that you guys brought me in on. That was amazing. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's pretty much my background, man. And I should also say I've been a shooter my whole life. I started shooting USPSA in 1996. Shot heavy for about 4 years, and then I moved and got kind of harder to shoot at ranges. And then since I've been in Vegas, I've shot quite a bit. And lately I've been into the PRS style shooting, long range stuff. Done a lot of that. There's a great club here in Vegas, Desert Sportsman's, and shoot a lot of matches and that kind of stuff. So that's kind of my shooting gun guy background.
Awesome.
That's pretty cool. It's pretty impressive, the background, because I know streaming today is still hard, you know? Yeah. So back then when you were doing it, they didn't have all the gear and equipment that we have today.
Yeah, man, it's funny because when we were doing it, at least in our industry, like just finding somebody that you could do pay-per-view live streaming with. And I looked all over, and there was basically two options. You could either go with a company called Audio Video Web, which is what tons of people use, mm-hmm. Or you can set up kind of a bespoke solution to where, which is what most companies were doing. Mm-hmm. And it was just crazy expensive, like beyond the pale of what we could do. So luckily there was one provider we could set it up with and do it with. But, you know, we were using – our first stream was done with just a regular 2007 17-inch MacBook Pro with a physical FireWire switcher. It was just stone knives and bear skins, man. It was hairy. But we moved on to using new tech equipment, TriCasters, and that made things quite a bit easier. But, you know, the thing about the live streaming is you got the streaming, which makes it hard enough, but then compound that with doing just any kind of live event mm-hmm. where, I mean, I've had the power go out in the middle of live events and it's just, and it's one thing if you're doing it, you know, for free, if you're just, you know, streaming from your phone to Facebook or something for fun, but you know, if people are paying, you know, we were charging between $20 and $25 a day to watch this stuff. And, you know, there's not a whole lot people will pay $20 or $25 a day to watch. So if you get them, it's important to keep them. Mm-hmm. So it was,
It's challenging.
The live
now.
Events are.
You know, I can't imagine. It is, yeah. Then. I'm just wondering why I never got a call from you back then to come play pool on your tournament, man. I mean, I was like one of the top players at the FOP. You know, Lodge 1, 2, 3, man.
I wish you guys would have been able to see the studio, man. You guys would have dug the studio. It was cool. It was a legit man cave.
That's pretty cool.
No punches pulled. It was a good time.
That's awesome.
Yeah. That's funny.
Well, let's I'm looking forward to working with you guys, man. I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, and this is going to be great for our members, too, because, you know, in 2017, we had a lot of content coming out. I think we had 60-some videos that year, which is, you know, a little over one a week, not, you know, about one a week. this last year, we didn't have as much, but we added a lot of authors. We added more article content. So I think one of the things I would like to see in 2019 is a kind of a combination of those two to produce even more of both kinds of content, because you do have the people who want to read it and are never going to watch a video online. And then you have the people who are always going to watch a video and never read it online. So, mm-hmm. you know, and now we have the audio with the podcast, and the podcast is really good. A lot of people, you know, like, well, these things are too long. Well, you know, one of the great things about podcasting is great for a certain type of person and a population. And that's people who have a lot of time on their hands, whether we're traveling, you know, commuting to and from work, and they want content. So, and it allows us to get into much deeper discussions than we get into on videos or in articles. But that's the downside of it, is it is longer. But there are a lot of people who like that length. And I think, you know, I'll pose this question to you, Justin. you know, today, like, I think we're seeing video just in a, it's kind of, it's, everything is changing, and it's changing fast. And, you know, I don't personally, I used to have DirecTV, had that for probably, I don't know, 5-6 years. Before that, I had Cox cable. Now all I use is YouTube TV. It's like $35 a month. You can get anything you want. You can watch, you know, I can watch Thunder games. I can watch OU football. That's pretty much all I watch. It has movies in it. It has, like, you know, unlimited DVR on cloud DVR time. And I think that, you know, back, let's go back a couple years ago, a lot of people were looking for 3 to 5 minute short video content, right? And if it was long videos, and a lot of times they wouldn't watch it. But I think that we're moving into a time where those longer videos are, that people are going to be looking for that more now because they can stream it to their televisions.
Yeah, I agree. I cut the cord, you know, as they say, haven't had cable television, I don't know, 5 years maybe.
Uh-huh.
So, and if there was a time in my life, if you told me that I wouldn't have cable television,
yeah,
I would have told you you're out of your mind.
Yeah.
But, and it's a lot of my friends, people I know, same way.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, definitely, you know, I remember working on digital signage in, I don't know, 2000, 2001. Mm-hmm. And the term then was, they're calling, you know, new media.
Mm-hmm.
New media is coming, and it's here. I mean, it's completely taken over. There's, it's, I mean, you, from Netflix, you know, it was, mm-hmm. I remember as a little kid back when VHS first came out, you know, a VHS player was some crazy amount of money. And, you know, if you were, if your family was a baller, you had Star Wars on VHS,
yeah,
you know, because the tape costs like $250. But that was the dream. Like, that was the future. Could you imagine someday where anything you wanted to watch at any time, you mm-hmm. can pull it up on your television and you watch it? You know, that was a flying car, man. That was something we were never going to see. So, yeah, now, man, it's, everything's so different. It's changing so much. And I agree with you about videos. I know, you know, if you talk to social media marketing people, they'll tell you, you know, short videos, 30 yeah. seconds to 2 minutes. And I definitely think those things have their place depending yeah, on the platform, definitely. You mm-hmm. know, like Instagram, you're obviously limited already, but, it's for me, especially like the way I watch content, which, you know, sample size of one, but, and I think it may be the same for my age demographic,
mm-hmm.
Is, I'm not really too interested. Like, if I Google whatever, especially if it's something I'm trying to learn about or mm-hmm. if it's a product I'm interested in, and 4 videos come up, one of them's 2 minutes, one of them's 90 seconds, one of them's 5 minutes, and one of them's 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm generally going to watch that 5 to 10 minute video
mm-hmm.
because, you know, 90 seconds to 2 minutes, there's not a whole lot. I don't like my content, you know, from a fire hose.
Yeah.
I'd rather be able to kind of digest it and see what's going on. And I realize that that is a demographic thing, that, you know, the young, you know, kids, you know, younger generations. I just saw, a blurb somewhere on the internet where it was, had to do with marketing, where I think the average time used to be, was it 8 seconds or 10 seconds or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
And now it's like 6 seconds. So if you don't catch somebody's attention or get their eye in that initial 6 second period, they're gone.
Yeah.
And I don't, you know, it's, I guess, hence the rise of clickbait articles and things like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I agree. I think there is a place for longer content, but I also believe that if their quality is good, if you make good quality stuff,
mm-hmm.
you know, with good information presented with good production value, I mean, I think there's always a place for that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, you see all these now, the YouTube originals, you know, Netflix came on, Amazon came on, heavy after that. Now you got YouTube coming on, and I think Facebook is going to be, you know, building
Disney's got a streaming service. I mean, everybody, it's yeah. If I was in the cable TV business, I would be sweating right now.
Mm-hmm. Looking for an opportunity. I mean, there's I could see. I mean, I can see us doing and. You know, for those of you who don't know, I mean, Justin's got some awesome videos. That one video that you did of the where they were building rifles.
Oh, yeah.
That's a cool video. That's a cool video. I'll actually try to put that in the page on this page so people can see it. It's a pretty cool video. He does some really good work. And I could see us down the road doing something kind of styled like a 48 hours type, you know, network show, online show of, you know, maybe the Maddox case and some of the other cases.
That's one thing, man. You bring up the Maddox case. We did, we did some stuff with the Maddox case, and it was, you know, I think it came out pretty good. A lot of it, the stuff that was filmed on location and, you know, it was filmed in hotel rooms or, you know, there was the production value was a camera, a mic, and maybe a light stuck in a corner, which is for, you know, that kind of stuff, that kind of documentary stuff. That's kind of just what you get. Mm-hmm. But it's such a powerful story, and it made a big impact on me personally. And it's something I would like to see, you know, maybe a little more time put into it just to tell that story and try to get it out in front of more people because there's just so much to it. And it's, man, if you carry a gun or you own a gun, it's everybody's worst nightmare. Yeah. This guy lived it and he made it, you know, he survived it. But honestly, you know, he survived it because of CCW Safe. Mm-hmm. And that whole experience with Maddox and going and filming these people and seeing it as an outsider, which is what I was.
Mm-hmm.
That's what made me like a believer in CCW Safe. Like I'm pretty cynical, dude. Mm-hmm. It takes a lot for me to buy into something. After 10 years in the pool industry and then working in the firearms industry, like it takes a lot for me to like really buy in to a company. And after going through and filming and seeing Steven, seeing the attorneys and all that, I mean, there was a time I was sitting there, I'll never forget it. It was interviewing Tart Thomas, and he's talking, and it just, this weird feeling came over me, and I was like, I understood. I was like, these guys saved this dude's life. Mm-hmm. Like, if he wouldn't have had these guys, he would be in prison. At best, he would have had to sell everything he owned to get an attorney that had no experience doing self-defense cases, and maybe he gets a plea deal and he only does 10 years in jail.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, if he's convicted, he goes to prison for life.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a clean shoot. It was a good shoot. And, you know, I'll never forget that. That was a powerful moment, man. And I just realized, like, they saved this guy's life.
Yeah.
He might as well have been drowning in the ocean and you threw him a life preserver. I mean, because without it, he's gone, man. And then, you know, Steven, then when I interviewed Steven and he said the same thing, you know, it's a powerful story.
It is very powerful. You know, I remember when we first went out there and, you know, I've talked to people about what's going on right now in the firearms industry with politics and even in our niche industry, you know, and for us, it goes way beyond what people call gun insurance, you know, whatever. It doesn't matter where you are on the spectrum of if you're totally for or against gun control, how you feel about guns. It doesn't matter where you're at on that spectrum. I don't think anybody can get behind sending an innocent man to prison for the rest of his life, to die in prison while his kids are being raised outside. I just don't think anybody can get behind that. Even these people who are dead set against you know, guns and gun control. If they saw this case, they would understand what we do.
Yeah,
and that's, I agree. You know, that was powerful. When we went out there, you know, I didn't meet Steven until we went out. And there was a reason behind that. I didn't really want to get involved with that case as being the founder and CEO. I wanted to just let it take its course. And I kept hearing, you know, everybody who went out, John went out first. He's like, man, this guy's, he's an awesome guy, man. He's, I mean, he, it's a legit incident. He's a great guy. He's a family man. He's got kids. He's very intelligent. He's articulate. He's just awesome. And then Don went out. Don was like, oh man, our member is, yeah, he's got it together. He's, you know, this is a great case to defend. And Gary went out, and Gary was like, man, you know, everybody was just saying how good Steven was. And, you know, when I went out, I met him that first, you know, we went out to dinner. He took us out to dinner that night. That's the first time I'd met him. First time you'd met him, Justin. And, you know, that whole deal was very powerful to me because I saw the same thing. I mean, when not Tart Thomas, but Kurt Schmidt, you know, when he broke down in those videos and was crying, saying, you know, man, I don't know if I could live with myself if Steven would have been found, had any guilty charge. And the things that Thomas was saying, Tart, about, you know, if it weren't for CCW Safe, any attorney would have pled that thing out because that was just what would have had to be done because he didn't have the resources. And then you remember when we were in the hotel room?
Yeah, absolutely.
And talking.
Never forget
it. He broke down and I broke down and we were talking. And I was like, look, I don't know why you're, you know, I don't know why you're going through this, but we're going to find something, you know, good out of it. I mean, all that stuff. When I came back from that trip, I remember landing in Oklahoma City and I was like crying because I didn't know why, but I was like, holy crap. This case, you know, for me, it was like personally kind of the good that came out of my shooting was, I thought, was this company. And, you know, founding this to do things like that. But what it really came down to was this one case. And I was more, when I came back, I was more on fire and I was more dedicated and I was more just ready to go and just attack anything for CCW Safe and to grow our company and to do that because of that one case. And
I'll tell
it was
what,
powerful.
Man.
I mean, it was very powerful. I think, you know, a lot of that stuff we haven't published.
No, yeah. I mean, I think, that experience is, like I said, I mean, there's really no other way to put it than it made me a believer because it's, you know, I saw firsthand that not only – it was, you saved a guy's life, literally, but also he should have never been in that position in the first place.
That's right.
And I'm not trying to sound like a tinfoil guy or anything, but when, you know, the government or, you know, you get on the wrong side of the machine.
Yeah.
And you don't have some kind of resources, some kind of help. I mean, what do? You just, you know, you're done. Mm-hmm. You're at their mercy. And it's to see an honest man that just did what he was supposed to do, defended his own life. And they were going to murder him, man. They were going to put him in prison and let him die. Mm-hmm. It'd take him 40 years, but he's just as dead at the end. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, his life's over. His kids don't know their father anymore. And it's just, it's every guy's worst fear, you know, in my opinion. If you believe in self-defense, if you believe you have a natural right to defend yourself from being harmed. And I believe every person on the planet, there is no basic natural right more important than for you to be able to not let somebody take your life from you.
Mm-hmm. You know, over the last 5 years, really, all we've heard is it's been a lot about Second Amendment.
Mm-hmm.
This whole industry is all talking about Second Amendment rights. And, you know, while I wholeheartedly believe in the Second Amendment and that I think that's a right that cannot be taken away from U.S. citizens, a self-defense incident is never going to boil down to your Second Amendment right.
Correct.
Your Second Amendment right is a part of it, but if you're attacked and you're forced to use deadly force on somebody, it's your inalienable right.
Yeah.
To live.
Yeah.
Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that is your any person on the planet has that right to live.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it comes down to that. You know, a lot of people talk about, well, Second Amendment right. There's no self-defense case that I ever see being a Second Amendment case or a Second Amendment right.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody is attacking you, trying to kill you, or a family member, then it doesn't matter if it's a gun, if it's a tire tool, if it's a cinder block, whatever. You have the right to defend your life. And I think a lot of times that Second Amendment is just, I think it's overused a lot of times. You know, like I said, it is going to be a part of that whole process.
Well,
but it really comes down to your inalienable right.
Yeah, to me, that's
life, liberty, and happiness.
You know, to me, I'm extremely. I'm pretty uncompromising when it comes to the second. And the reason mm-hmm. I am is because of that. At the underlying base of it is the fact that, you know, the people who attack that want gun control, you go to places like New York, California, you know, mm-hmm. or the UK where, you know, you can't own a knife. You can't have a knife in public. You know, I mean, because to me, what those laws are saying is the government is mandating that you die in place. Mm-hmm. That if you were attacked by a criminal, because a criminal, by their very definition, does not care what the law says. So if you're attacked by a criminal who has a weapon of some sort, or even if he doesn't have a weapon, but he's got five friends, and, you know, you are denied by law, you know, any means to protect yourself, that's the state saying your job is to die in place. You are a mandated victim. If you try to defend yourself or use, you know, any means to defend yourself, you are now a criminal. You are no better than the people who tried to take your life. Mm-hmm. So, to me, that's madness. It's just absolute madness. And that's where, you know, my base, you know, hardcore Second Amendment, you know, belief, that's where it stems from. That's the bottom line. You know, to me, gun control is the state saying a 100-pound woman has to fist fight a 250-pound man. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Your grandmother that's 85 years old, yeah, she gets to fight that guy that's 19 years old and weighs 200 pounds. Mm-hmm. Let him duke it out. If grandma can't handle it, too bad. You know, it's madness. So
for me, the thing that I always come back, that is a big part of my, you know, I'm fully supportive of the Second Amendment. When it comes back to what Japan said, you know, during the
Every blade of grass
during the World War, that there's going to be a gun behind every blade of grass if we attack America.
You know, and I don't want to spin off too far into politics, but you know, it's because the Second Amendment is such a, you know, a divisive issue even among the gun community. Like there, mm-hmm. you know, you see the gun. Yep. Nothing will make a gun community eat itself faster than you know somebody making somebody mad for either you know whatever. But yeah, I agree. There's just
it's such a part of our history.
Yeah,
I mean our whole history.
Yeah, and not only that, but I'm a firm believer in the fact that you know if the populace is armed, they're citizens. If they're unarmed, they're subjects. And I believe that. I believe history shows that. So I don't know. I think we're headed for interesting times in this country. So how that plays out, I don't know. But I mean, going back to where we started, no matter what the laws say, to me, I mean, I don't see how you can legislate away. It would be like saying somebody, you know, you're not allowed to breathe. I mean, mm-hmm. the fact that, you know, the most basic right of any animal, I mean, not just a human, any animal is the right, you know, to self-preservation.
Mm-hmm. And we're seeing that more than ever now, too.
Yeah.
The animal rights. So, yeah, it was that whole deal was a very powerful. And, you know, man, Steven is such a good guy still to work with. I talked to him last week. You know, we still reach out to him. We still, you know, talk quite often. And, he's just, you know, that was just such a special case to be involved in. And it's kind of like Thomas and Schmidt both said, you know, when we were talking to him, you know, I don't know how many times they said, you know, man, we're just so thankful that, you know, CCW Safe allowed us to be, you know, a part of this. Mm-hmm. And I was sitting there thinking, dude, you guys did it all. I mean, I'm thinking the same thing. I'm thinking, man, I'm just so, you know, honored that we were able to be part of it with you, you know. Mm-hmm. Because those guys worked.
Yeah, you know, the one thing about that, Mike, is, and I understand where they're coming from, you can have the best attorney, the strongest, most experienced attorney defending you. If they don't have resources mm-hmm. to get you the best experts, you know, to sustain the fight and be forced to, you know, go after a plea deal, they're not even worth it. So mm-hmm. I think they just really appreciated us bringing the funds behind and the power of even Don West, you know, because they call him Coach Don.
Coach Don is what they call
yeah.
him.
So I think that's what they meant by that.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you something.
Yeah, I know, but it is the same thing. I mean, I was just like, wow, you guys were all of it. I mean, you were all in with us. You know, it was cool to see all that play out. And it was, you know, it kind of fascinated me that we were the first company to go the distance, mm-hmm. you know?
Well, I'll tell you the thing that I thought was really fun to see, like when I say fun, like interesting, kind of cool is, and I learned so much during that time period of being able to interview these people was you could see on the attorneys' faces, Tart and Kurt, that, you know, it's pretty clear, you know, as defense attorneys, they probably don't get, you know, you probably don't run across a whole lot of, like, really, truly innocent guys, right. you know, in that business. And then, you know, to get that client that, you know, it's a righteous case. And so mm-hmm. not only do you get a truly righteous case, but you have the resources and the means to fight that to where when it's all said and done, win or lose, you can't turn around and say, well, if we just would have had this or we just would have had that.
Yeah.
You know, to me, you know, as an attorney, that's got to be an amazing opportunity to be able to go in and know you're in the right. And you're mm-hmm. you're fighting to save a guy's life, and you've got every tool at your disposal. So, I mean,
yeah, they had said, you know, they probably won't. I think one of them, or if not both of them, had said, yeah, we'll probably never have another case like this our entire career.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know,
So that was interesting to me, and you could see it, and they alluded to it a couple of times. Kurt, in particular, in his interview, you know, you could tell it truly did mean a lot to him. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure even, you know, outside of just, you know, being able to save Steven was, mm-hmm. you know, you're in that business. That's your career. That's how you make your livelihood. That's got to feel really good to be able, you know, to do things like that. Because all of us in whatever career you're in, whatever you do, generally, you know, it's pretty, at least in my experience, it's rare to have everything fall into place where you have mm-hmm. everything you need. You know, you're not taking shortcuts, you know, due to budget or time or anything like that. Mm-hmm. That's got to be good.
Yeah, it was, I think it was Kurt that said, yeah, my kids even come in and ask, how's Steven doing? right. During that time. So after that time, you know, we continued to work with Justin at SHOT Shows. We would work with him when we had projects that we wanted done that we wanted to spend a little more time on or make a little better. We would have Justin do it. And it just got to a point to where we were both, I think both of us were, you know, thinking Justin on his side that, you know, he expressed that he would love to be more a part of us if that ever came up. And then we were, you know, kind of thinking the same thing. Stan and I had talked about it in the past, you know, at some point it'd be good to bring him on. And now is that point. It's just a good time, good fit. So I'm totally stoked, excited about having you on. And once you get, man, it's going to be so nice to be able to just get this stuff done. So one thing for our listeners, if there's anything that you guys would like to see project-wise done, you know, let us know. You know, we get mail from people. I don't know, Stan, if you have any of the mails that pulled off. We really need to start going through, you know, some of the guys who write us because, you know, we do have people who give us good ideas and they like the podcast. They give us feedback. So send those in and, you know, we'll you know, make sure that gets put on a list of things that we need to focus on.
Absolutely. And you guys can send those straight to me, Stan, STAN, at ccwsafe.com.
I'll tell you what, man, yeah. I'm excited to get to work, and it's kind of funny, you know, I just talked about how the attorneys rarely get a chance to, you know, or anybody rarely gets a chance to do everything kind of with all the resources you need. And that's a position I'm in, man. Like, I feel like I've gotten to know all the principals at CCW Safe. And it's just, you look at the people that you've picked. I'm a firm believer in you are who you associate with. Mm-hmm. And the team that you guys have put together, you know, Gary, David, you know, everybody involved, Kyle, you and Stan, of course. But it's just, I mean, it's an all-star team, man. I mean, it's for me, I mean, I feel like just super lucky that I'm going to get the chance to work with, you know, the best in the business at what they do. You know, if it was a baseball player, it'd be like getting called to the Yankees. That's the way I look at it. I'm serious, man. It's you guys. Well,
we're glad to have you on, man. It's going to be awesome.
Absolutely.
So,
and you know, I'm looking forward to it. I hate to keep going back to our core values, but you know, we have new listeners all the time, and you know, one of our core values is experience and leadership. And I think the people that we partner with, you know, Don West, you look at Don West, Larry Vickers, and Alexis Artwall, mm-hmm. there's those three people in their respective fields are the top in what they do. Uh-huh. And, you know, we've been fortunate to be associated and partnered with those type of people.
Well, so I tell you what, man, the series you guys did with Don West – on him breaking down how the system works, I think is one of the most valuable things I've ever seen as a concealed carrier, as just, you know, to giving me an idea of how, just how it really works and, and, you know, that kind of thing. And it's completely free. I mean, you guys put that out there. Yeah. If anybody out there has not seen, what's the name of the series? I don't remember.
It's The Next Fight. And actually, we're going to be redoing that. And that's going to be probably one of your first deals that you're going to be working on. We're going to redo that. And we're actually going to take those. You know, he had like 26 videos, I think.
Yeah.
They're the Next Fight series on our YouTube channel. I think some of them are maybe on our Facebook. But we're going to take those and we're going to put them together into podcasts.
Okay.
I think there are 26 videos. So there's probably going to be about 5 podcasts, and it basically goes through the whole system. Probably going to reshoot some video on that.
Okay.
So yeah, Don is, I mean, that was really cool. And so that's one of the things that we're going to be kind of beefing up this year. Will be a lot of work with Don. So
awesome. He's the best, man. I was telling Stan last night. I was like, Don's my man. He's awesome. Like he's one of the smartest cats I've met, man. That's the first podcast of your guys I listened to was that's the one I picked, was when you interviewed Don, because, you know, I wanted to know his background, where he came from.
Yeah.
And
he's so normal, man. He's just a cool guy. A cool guy. Mm-hmm. Like when we went to Orlando a few times. It was during that series when we were doing The Next Fight. It was cool to go hang out with Don.
Yeah,
I mean, he's just a cool guy, man.
And I mean, he's the kind of guy for me. Like there are certain people you run across in your lifetime to where, you know, when they open their mouth, you shut up and you listen very closely to what they're saying, because you know, there's some value there, you know, there's some wisdom coming out. And Don is one of those guys. Like anytime I get a chance to be around him and or ask him a question or something like that, it's I take advantage of it, because he's a great guy, and he's also one of the smartest, wisest guys I've encountered. It's fun. I look forward to working with him. He's a lot of fun.
And he's one of those that, you know, when you ask him a question, it's thought through.
Yes, yeah.
He's not just going to start. He thinks about it and analyzes it. And when he talks, he knows what he's saying.
Well, and the thing I like, too, another sign that I look for is Don's not afraid to say, I don't know. Mm-hmm. You know, Don's not afraid to say, I need more information before I can, you know, give you a good, solid response. And to me, that's as valuable a commodity as there is, because there's, you know, I'm getting old and I'm blaming everything on the internet, but it's like there's so many people generally will give you an opinion just completely out of thin air. You know, it's like, well, let me tell you what I think about this. Okay, what's your experience with that? Well, I don't have any experience with it, but I'm going to tell you how I feel. You know, it's like, well, that doesn't do anybody any good. And Don's not that guy. You know, I've seen him. I've asked him questions before, and he goes, well, that's an interesting question. You know, I'd have to look more at, you know, whatever it is we're talking about. So, can't wait to do more with him.
Well, good. He'll be out of shot too, right?
Yeah, he'll be here.
Is he going to be out there?
Yep. He is, sir.
Yep. Man, we're going on about an hour, so I'm going to shut this down, and I got to go pick up Ace and get things ready for when I come out there. I'm looking forward to seeing you two guys out there. And again, send us something in. I'm just looking at a email from Andrew Falcons that sent in that he was talking about when Stan was talking about the preparedness stuff and some of the things he's going to incorporate with his family. And he's also glad to hear that people are learning from the podcast, like the one we talked about of the case that where the guy reflected back on the I can't think of the case now, the front door.
Yeah. That's when the guy kept trying to get in his house.
Yeah, in his house. So keep the emails coming in. You know, let us know what you guys think. And you guys have a great day, and I will see you on Sunday.
All right. You guys be safe out there.
Thanks for having me,
Justin.
Yep. See you next week.
All right, you guys have a good one.